Hi, everyone. My name's Claire Casey, and I am here with SAST. I'm based here in Santa Monica, and I'm here to introduce David Perona, who comes to us from Houston, Texas, and he's our Director of Customer Intelligence. We're going to talk today about personalizing your over-the-top service, specifically around digital data collection and what you can do with that data in order to deliver more personalized, valuable customer interactions with your OTT.
Thank you, Claire. So first of all, raise your hand if you're just here because you want to win the drone. Okay, so make sure if you want to win the drone, remember you have to give us your business card, and at the end of the session, we'll do a drawing for the drone. I think it has a 4K camera on it or something. So. Well, we don't make it. Did we go to Costco or Best Buy? Costco. So,
let's just go through.
All right, great. So today we're talking about personalizing your OTT service. And I wasn't sure what topic to present at this conference, at least when I was first about it before. And I thought back to, the last 2 months, I've talked to, I would say, a handful of studios and other content creators who were in some stage of launching an OTT or streaming service. And the first one that I spoke to, I don't have a lot of media experience. I mean, I probably work with maybe a couple studios. And I was amazed that one of the first ones I talked to, I said, well, all the stuff you want to do, you need to be really consumer focused and collect consumer data. You do have consumer data, don't you? And they said, yeah, we have consumer data. They're in these web logs over there. It wasn't even a database. And so at that point, I thought, oh, I didn't realize the state of personalization is in some pockets. And so that's really what drove it on this presentation today. So first of all, and if you have any questions, feel free to ask. There's only 20 people in here, so if you want to stop me and ask, that's fine. This looks perfect. And I'm sure you guys can read that in the background. So I think it's self-evident what personalization is, but what I think of it is personalization is really tailoring your product or service or content to an individual consumer. If you go to Wikipedia, which is the second half of that, and look up personalized marketing, it's really a strategy to leverage data analysis and digital technology to deliver individualized messages and product offerings to current or future customer prospects, right? So I think that's a really good definition. But when I ultimately think about personalization, I think about it really in three general categories. I think of, number one, what do I tell my consumers, right? So now you've got this relationship, a direct relationship with a consumer. What am I going to tell them? Right? Is that a targeted message? Is it a campaign? Is it an offer? What's an action do I want to take with those consumers? Number one, that's personalization. Two, I think of it as the consumer experience. So as they interact with me and my content through whatever digital channels there are, what is that experience? And then overall, what is the experience, sort of the consumer journey? So not just one interaction, but how does my relationship with my consumers change over time from onboarding to engaging to maybe trying to retain or reactivate them? How is that overall journey with us going to be personalized to the individual? So that's kind of the three areas of personalization.
One more click, who knew?
Claire, I wish you could have actually prepared for today's presentation. So from a consumer perspective, consumers who consume content think, does the provider know me? Do they even care? Or do I have the standard interaction that all customers have? Lucy just joined the OTT subscription last month as a paid user, so she doesn't want any ads, so she's going to pay for the service. backed up from her laptop, but to use the content actually for her mobile device. She browses mostly three genres and has binge watched season one of Legacy 24 in the last month. So if you want to personalize, we have to learn about Lucy and collect that data and obviously put it in a consumer database somewhere, right? So we can't personalize without knowing about this. I mean, and this is just the tip of the iceberg, right? We might know that, you know, she views the content from different geographies and regions. We might know that she pays her subscription with the Platinum American Express card. We could also know that she watches the content at certain times of day, days of week, even the weekends. We know what she's watched and what she stopped watching. We know she's partially watched something, the first 15 minutes and stopped. And we can also learn that maybe she really likes James Spader, right? That could be. But that's only one challenge, is collecting the data. From a marketer's perspective, this is Mark the Marketer. He needs to engage the subscribers, have something to say, right? Acquire customers and consumers and retain them. But he's only got so much budget and resources, so he doesn't have an army of people to create all these actions and recommendations, but he's got to be able to somehow guide the consumer throughout the journey. So, I mean, his challenge too is because there's so much content, so many titles, and they might want to review certain pieces of content and others not. What does Lucy want to watch next? And she's a new subscriber, then how am I going to make her initial journey or onboarding process seamless and a good experience for her? So he needs to deploy some sort of strategy, both for the consumer experience, but also for the overall journey across all channels. And he's got to vary it by the life cycle of the consumer, and by the audience or segment consumers are in, by the devices they use and watch through, and then their level of engagement. If you have somebody who's looking at content every day, maybe it's okay for somebody to send them an email every day, or maybe two or three emails a day, if they're interacting with your application every day. But if you have someone who's less engaged, maybe watches maybe one movie or one episode a week, well, maybe you should send them less communications. And so all of that to say, there's so much to say to individual consumers. There is so much data that we have. That how can a marketer do that? And that's really the challenge, is how to orchestrate your communications, target them on the right devices, at the right time, with engaging content. And from the marketer's perspective, it can be very daunting. Questions, comments?
I'm guessing
SAS. No, I wasn't going to actually say that. I think that's actually going to be implied at the very end. Okay. Is that all the stuff you saw here today that SAS could help? So, but does everyone know who SAS is, by the way? Okay. So it's a very large software company that's $3 billion revenue a year, largest privately held software company, and the focus is on analytics, so they can predictive analytics, machine learning, visualization. And what I do in my practice is use analytics to help drive the consumer experience across all channels. So I thought today we would look at some examples of personalizations. So this is actually an email I received, I think, on Thursday from Netflix. And I've let my Netflix subscription lapse, but I got this email. And so this is a very simple example of personalization, but a lot could still go into it. So I don't know why I got all we had as sort of this new content that's called a thing I'm interested in, but marketing has got to think, well, how do I recommend something that's engaging to David? So we know what he watched when he had the subscription. We knew we had new content. We know he's no longer a customer, so I can't talk to him every week even. Otherwise, he'll for sure opt out. But what can I do to re-engage him? So As a marketer, I might create an email template. Maybe there's a subject line that says, hey Dave, please come back or something. But there's also, make a recommendation based upon all of our content to something that David is interested in. That doesn't seem quite daunting, but you still need to be concerned about how the content is rendered, and when do you send it, when do you send it to me, when's the best time to actually try to reactivate it. Something that's more daunting, this is actually another email I received from Netflix trying to re-engage me, is actually, this is supposed to be one column, but it's another message, but then there's one, two, three, probably two more, I think there's five content blocks on the email. Now, as a marketer, how do I decide five content blocks, what goes in each block, how to optimize each one? I understand that, you know, maybe the True Memoirs of an International Assassin would be for me. I don't know what the Gilmore Girls, I don't think that was my watching, right?
You have multiple people in one.
Yeah, well, maybe it's multiple people. Maybe that's what they think. Maybe someone else in my household is watching that. I definitely wouldn't watch Minions, right? But somehow that's there. And there's a few others that maybe are, that tell you too much about my viewing habits that I didn't want to show. But again, there's these four or five slots. Well, you know what, if I want to test that, if, me as a marketer, how do I decide that, right? How do I, maybe it's, I try, you know, the top five genres that David has watched, and I make recommendations for each one. And then do I want to do A/B testing on each one of these blocks? And gee, if it's A/B testing, well, we'll talk about A/B testing later, but I'm going to sort of test into this to figure out what's the best way to do it. But as a marketer, again, we'll try to look over all of your content that you have, all the behavior, all the devices. How do you actually target that? And then I also logged into Amazon today. And I haven't used that service recently either, so they're also trying to personalize. And actually, the truth is that I use at least five or six more columns that are below this. But again, I log in, it says, let's get reacquainted. Here's what's new on Prime Video. I've got what's new for me across the bottom. All right, so apparently I'm a big music aficionado, so I've got Lindsey Buckingham and Christina McVie. With some other stuff. And then, so I've got at least, looking at this, I've got one, two, three slots for personalization on the website. But there's actually probably five more. So if you think about even their experience, we're going to have that many slots. How many, for each one of the five slots, how many variations could there be? I mean, we're looking, let's just say that, you know, on this carousel at the top, maybe there's five versions. There are five different messages. Maybe the next row, new for me. All right, maybe there's another five versions. Maybe there's another five versions with another two rows. Maybe on the right-hand side is another version. Once you look through all the permutations of that, that could be thousands of different permutations. So think about how do I even optimize that experience without taking a year to run to get enough interactions to understand it. So only point here is that as a marketer doing this, again, it's not something that I can easily just create a business rule and say, okay, David shows up and show him this. We need some way to look across all the content to actually, you know, maybe have a template of sorts to actually make intelligent recommendations based upon all the data that we've collected. Does that make sense? Another persona we have is data scientists. So your organization, maybe you have one person, maybe you have a group. But they've got a lot of models, right? And they have these recommendation engine models that maybe, you know, I've got them. How does a marketer leverage these to help engage our subscribers? And you know what?
There you are.
Oh! Security, please. So actually, you can look for a, you really have sort of a platform that uses visualization and machine learning to let the both the business and marketers look at all the data that's been generated by the customers. But at the same time, you know, give the business people access to the data, but also have the ability to do machine learning and recommendation engine type modeling. And by the way, that it's not your father's SaaS. It's totally open. We can run it. Anyways, it's not just SaaS. It is, you can use Python, you can use Groovy, you can use REST, you can even use R. So it's not it's not what people typically think of in your SaaS. So go to our website, look up Vaya, and understand. But with the analytics, it's going to reveal new opportunities to the market, right? So you're going to understand, as far as your personalization efforts, how are they performing? Gee, what are some interesting trends that are occurring on our subscribers? What are the effects of varying this piece of content up here on the web page and this piece of content down here? And maybe the two impact each other. Right, so maybe if I show Gilmore Girls up here, I should show something similar down here, or something totally different. Let's look at journey optimization, looking at the life cycle of your customer, right? Post-onboarding date and seeing how their behavior changes over time. And look at the impact of content recommendations across all your channels. So ultimately, we think about collecting all the data on your consumers, what they do on your over-the-top, right? Whatever digital IDs they provide you, whatever content they view, when they view it, collect all that data. Use that and put that in a consumer database, like even what I've seen a lot of is people putting the data in AWS Redshift. Use all that data to drive your segmentation, to drive your audience selection. Do your heavy lifting against that data, operationalize those segments and audiences and insights, and use those to drive your digital personalization. So collect all your data, put it in Redshift or any other customer database, do your heavy lifting and segmentation analysis on that, and operationalize the results out into your digital channels, and then track the results that will feed back into your database. And that's really what we propose. And so I've already read through this. So you want to leverage all of your consumer data, since that is one of the most valuable assets. You should have a full life cycle of your campaign, tracking it from the segmentation to people interacting with your campaigns and content and messages. You want to consolidate your data and use advanced analytics to optimize your content and your messages and your personalization. So where should we start? You can go online to confidentquotient.com and do a short 10-minute survey. And it will actually tell you, it'll give you some information on how mature you are in marketing and personalization, and give you some feedback on areas that where you should start. Now, some of the customers that I've talked to have been in the early stage where they're starting the collection of the data, getting some basic strategies in mind, and then delivering those via email in the online experience. That's a good place to start. So with that, does anyone have any questions? Comments?
Yeah, how many days or months or years of data do you have to have in place before you can actually operationalize any sites from that data?
So I think it doesn't take much at all, really. I mean, it depends what your ultimate goal is. You need to test, you know, a million different variations of content. Maybe that will take longer. But normally, what you need for data is obviously, if someone subscribes, you have their sort of their customer profile data, you have their activity data, and with that and the metadata around what they're viewing, you can start right away. I think what you have to do to sort of get the best results is really test your way into it. Start testing, how often should I communicate with these various audiences? Should I send 5 emails a day or once a week, right? And actually, 5 emails a day might be fine if you have somebody who's binge-watching and has gone through, you know, a whole series in 3 days, right? Maybe that's okay. At the end of that, there's an important event. Okay, let's tell you, let's go ahead and offer season 2. or some premium content, or gee, I've seen now that the person is viewing this on a screen that's capable of 4K. And so the answer is you don't need a ton of data, but I think what you really need to do is test your way into the best results and just try new things and try, you know, A/B testing and multivariate testing and see what works best for your business and your consumers.
So what if I'm launching a new content and I have zero insights about that content? I assume which customer likes that type of content?
So there's a few things you can do. You can obviously, when people go to your website or use your mobile app or the TV app, you can try to randomly seed some of those new content. What you also have is you might not have people who've actually viewed it yet, but maybe you could use the browser behavior. Maybe there are people who browse it but haven't watched it yet. Maybe that's a good profile. Or, of course, if you've got common metadata, okay, it's a brand new episode of Seinfeld that has never been released, right? And then it's like, okay, well, I can have an idea of who might be interested in that. Right? So there's some proxies for it until you get the real interactions. But oftentimes just try to randomly seed those in is a good thing.
One more last question.
So
once you have captured those insights, how long does it take for you to actually feed that back into the loop and use it elsewhere?
I would say in our solution, we're talking probably, depends how you want to set it up, right? Mileage may vary, but I would say, an hour, maybe less.
But your models are not appealing.
Well, it depends how you want to set it up, right? I mean, they could, if you wanted to. It just depends. I mean, so we can set up models to update in real time. We can say, this doesn't make sense on some stuff, but let's do it daily. It really just depends on our client's SLAs, really. That's what it depends on. And how much do you want to actually feed all of that data, as an example, back to your database, too? Because IT might say, well, that's a ridiculous SLA. Let's do it. Okay, how many hourly or daily? So there's no constraint on our side of how quickly things get spun.
Curious, this is maybe a dumb question, but the tools you're talking about in approach, and they're getting so good that we're pretty much better at connecting people with stuff that we know they're going to like, but that almost necessarily narrows people's palettes of consumption, right?
That's right.
And can you speak at all to the opportunities to broaden palettes, to introduce people to the great art that they might not discover because it falls into an obvious category that they're regularly
using? Right. So it's funny because I was just having this exact conversation in the hallway. I think it's testing too. Let's test different types of recommendations. Right? So let's just say now I've been a customer, let's just say if we go back to Lucy, right? She's been watching everything that we think she likes. Well, maybe that's a good time to start introducing other types of recommendations. But I used to do this 20 years ago, a long time. We used to call something a surprise factor in some of our recommendations. Of course, somebody like Seinfeld is going to like, I don't know, just buy some other show, Friends or something. Of course, they're going to like the same type of thing. But how valuable is that recommendation, really? You want to make a recommendation that someone's not going to think of. And the other thing, too, is if I make a recommendation if I'm an action adventure guy, well, maybe you don't want to make a recommendation that's only one click away, because I'm always in the action adventure part of the site or the content. Let's make recommendations that are two levels away or three clicks away in your hierarchy. That's another way. But I would really, again, test into it and try different types of recommendations. And then you always need to have some control groups too, right? You always say, well, maybe for this person, we're always going to randomly serve up recommendations of everything that is R-rated and nicer, right? But that might be the way to go. But I just say it's test, test, test. And you can even test, in a safe place to test too is an email, right? Because you can always, as you saw with my emails, I have like five levels of recommendations. And you don't have to totally change your consumer's experience, but there's nothing that prevents you from doing that either way.
Thank you.
So the way that I think about it is that you need, as far as a solution for recommendation, you need sort of this central brain that runs off the data that is in your enterprise, sharing through it, make recommendations, understand it. So you need to operationalize that to bring it into the session with the customer. So into the digital experience. So you try to balance both. But as a marketer, I think that's the best way to go. And then obviously you need a tool that allows you to sort of customize the experience of the website and creates emails and all that. So we need to look for that as a platform. So you need to do that and include evidence. So how much time do we have? I know between you and the bar, right? Between me and the bar.
If you're standing there, yes.
Yes.
Which year is that?
5:45.
That's 5:46.
All right, well then, I think it's time for the big drawing. So if you, I believe Claire is going to do the drawing because I'm not trustworthy.
Yeah.
I'm easily influenced. So the winner of these 4K drawings.
I should get up.
Oh, and the other thing too is that if you want to talk during our happy hour social, then feel free to have one ask or answer the question. So, the winner of
is Daniel Wong. You're from Maritime.
Yo!
Oh my God! Come on to that.
Wait, we gotta see
you
guys.
All right, well, thanks a lot, everybody. If you have any more questions, I'll see you at the tomorrow.
Thank you.